May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 572. Before the earth or seas were made, Jesus was chosen as our head, the Father's first elect. In him the church was chosen too, and he engaged to bring them through, nor will he them neglect. 572.
From the Holy Word of God, let us read in the Book of Psalms, Psalm 118. In the Book of Psalms, Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth for ever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth for ever. Let them now that fear thee, Lord, say that his mercy endureth for ever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. Thou quenchedst the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto thee, Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let us pray. Most blessed, most high and merciful God, we do bow down before thy great and glorious majesty, and we ask for the Holy Ghost to be here among us this evening. We ask in thy all-prevailing name, Lord Jesus, for that is the name our Father delights to hear his children plead, the spiritual poet put it, and rightly so, Lord. And Lord, he went on to say, and it's according to thy word, so we plead it. All such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, do grant us some blessing tonight. Grant us an indeed blessing. Oh, do bless one and another, we pray. Oh, with those spiritual blessings from on high, there may be that personal, private bowing of the soul to worship thee in the beauty of holiness. Oh, bless us and do us good in our assembling tonight. Oh, we've gathered in from the busy scenes of life with all its responsibilities and its business, all its frustrations and worries as well. Oh, what a privilege to turn in. And we pray that we may not be disappointed in turning in tonight. Oh, there may be a portion for our souls. And therefore, as we inquire after God, our most merciful Father, oh, for the gift of the Holy Ghost, we plead all the merit of Christ. Your prevailing name of Jesus, thy well-beloved Son, and plead all that he has finished and done forever. Oh, how Lord Jesus, thou dost cry out, it is finished. Oh, may he little by precious faith the dying Saviour cry, it is finished. Oh, Lord, we pray then that we may be blessed to our interest in that finished work, in thy once dying, in thy glorious resurrection, and now living after the power of an endless life, thou'st crucified, and Lord, thou didst pour out thy soul unto death, but now risen victorious and ascended on high to reign, and we read, he shall reign for ever and ever. Please reign over me. Please reign over us each. Lord, for ever and for ever. Not just for time in our providence here, though we need thy reign in all particulars for weak vessels. Ah, but we want to know thyself as crucified for us. We may live in hope of a glorious resurrection. Live in hope that we shall see thee face to face with joy. Lift up our faces, our heads among those sons of God there. Oh, bless us tonight. Oh, we read concerning the transgressions of thy dear church. For the iniquity of that land shall be removed in one day. Oh, may we know it. Our iniquities were removed in one day. When thou dost bow thy head and give up the ghost. Oh, may we ever seek that and covet that blessing, to know our sins forgiven, and pray, Lord, earnestly, and we must pray this earnestly, that our forgiven sins may be subdued, because we firmly believe it goes together. Forgiven sins must be subdued sins. We want them much subdued, Lord. We live at such a dying rate, got such bad hearts, oh, so full of ill will and foolish thought and evil imaginations. Oh, how we groan, not the apostle. We're wretched people, Lord, wretched men. But we plead the fullness, the all-sufficiency of our Redeemer's sacrifice. And, oh, the all-sufficiency of thy intercession. Our prayers are poor, but intercede for us, and they're accepted, even though it comes out of a sinful heart, feelingly sinful, and yet a heart that longs. And thy people with that longing heart have a pure heart, a treasure in an earthen vessel. We complain daily of the earthen vessel. Oh, sinners, it's all we do. But Lord, the pure heart groans and longs for Christ. The pure heart worships. And so often thy people gain the victory over all these things. And then, Lord, they're put to it in the warfare. And oh, we have to come in with the psalmist, iniquities prevail against me. But Lord, we truly believe thou art Jesus, who will give us the victory at last. So give us many victories while we live here, we pray. We may be among them that overcome. Bless us tonight, then, as the cases of the poor, the cases of the sin sick, or the cases of the weak, the cases of the guilty, the case of those that are far off, feeling in their soul, long to be made nigh. Oh, as we read twice in the epistles, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Make them nigh even this night, Lord. Oh, may they know something of thy efficacy, the efficacy of thy precious blood. Oh, may they know something, Lord, of the washing of regeneration and the putting away of sin. Bless sinners. Lord, the gospel's for sinners, for the lost, for the ruined, or for the polluted. Ah, bless thy word. Meet our cases here tonight. Or do strengthen weak hands and confirm feeble knees, Lord. Or do say to them that I have a fearful heart, fear not. Behold, your God will come with recompense. And yes, he will come indeed and give victory. He will come and save you. Oh, save sinners here tonight, we pray. Dear kind physician, with such a tender, loving heart. Oh, all compassion, the poet says. Jesus, thou art all compassion. Pure, unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Comfort every sinking heart. Hear our cries, dear physician of souls. And meet our cases and console us within. And strengthen us and assure us that it is well. Well with us while life is with us here below, and well when we are called to die. Oh, time is so short with us all. So many of us have quickly come to the evening time of life. Our life is but a vapour, Lord. Oh, bless our younger friends to realise this more and more. Their time is very short on earth. When living here, let us say, be ye also ready. So the man comes at hour when you think not. Oh, we do pray thou so sanctify all our troubles and afflictions and distressing things that we meet with, whether in family or business or church or personal, private, and in the affairs of this world. Do grant, Lord, indeed, that there may be indeed that benefit from it, that lasting benefit from it. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, for Saviour, we are such. And there may be those peculiar cases here tonight. Real peculiar cases. So small in grace and so sin-sick. Or maybe so confused. Longing for real things and yet seems so distant, cold and dead. Oh, pour in the oil and the wine of the gospel. Whatever the confusion, whatever the conflict, give light and life, peace and pardon, in that skillful and pure and holy way, that well able to do these things. Oh Lord, we do need thee in life's journey. Please be our future. May we cast all our care upon thee, wait patiently for thee and upon thee in all matters that we meet with. Bless the generations. Bless those dear children that brought here on the Sabbath days, or those dear little ones in arms. We bear them affectionately unto thee, Lord. Oh, they're born in perilous times. The lot is cast in those times spoken of in thy word. Protect them, bless them, give them eternal life. Make thyself known unto them. Help parents to bring them unto thee. Lord, we do pray that so bless thy our dear younger friends and the children, the youth, young men and young women. Make them wise unto salvation. The world is so attractive. Our Lord, do put thy fear in their hearts, that they may cry to thee, that they may overcome at last. They may cry to thee for the abundance of life. They may be saved. Saved from this bewitching world. Saved from themselves. Saved by thy grace. Oh, do hear prayer, we pray. All in affliction, all poorly. Oh, there are those poorly. Be merciful and grant those healing mercies. No doubt many afflictions, some more serious, some more common, but nevertheless, Lord, uncomfortable and can be distressing. Oh, do hear prayer to put forth our healing hand. All that are lonely, I remember all in providential trial and straits. May they pray. Pray for mercy. Pray for help. Tell thee they don't deserve any help, for they're such sinners, and yet plead it for thy name's sake. We often have to come there, Lord. Oh, we need so much help in this and so much help in that. We don't deserve it, Lord. Ah, we've a name to plead. Oh, bless poor sinners in trouble. Bless our dear deacons, Lord, the dear deacons here. Strengthen them and be with them. Right, he immerse one poor at this time, give them wisdom and understanding and godly fear before their eyes, a single eye to thy glory. May this church and people be kept together in the fear of the Lord, each one clothed with humility, each one, Lord, bearing each other's burdens in prayer, seeking to be the least and not the chief. Bless them together, add unto them such as shall be saved. May sinners' hearts be touched to put on Christ, walking gospel ordinances, to do these things in remembrance of thee, the worthy Lamb. Add unto this people then such as shall be saved. In due time, in thy perfect way, provide for man unto shepherd a pastor, and be a tender exercise before thee, a patient waiting, to hear what the Spirit saith, and to look unto who the Lord will provide. Oh, Lord, we always have our choices and our favourites in these things. But no, Lord, it's what the Lord's will is. And so unfold thy purpose even in this, we pray, to this people. We don't want to count our blessings and our mercies, Lord. They are so very, very great. Our cup runs over. Oh, we don't deserve the least of them. Yet we're surrounded, overwhelmed. Our cup runs over in these things. Oh, for a truly thankful heart. A heart of praise, a heart of thanksgiving. To value thy blessings. And yet, Lord, oh, not to make idols out of them or to abuse them in a carnal way. But hold them loosely and lightly, yet value them as God's kind provision for a short time. But oh, to value, Lord, that hid treasure. Oh, that blessed heavenly treasure. Hidden away from the natural eye, but viewed and seen by precious faith. Oh, do hear prayer to bless. Poor needy sinners in this place. Spare this guilty realm and nation. Oh, Lord, maintain our Protestant liberties and constitution that please thee. right amidst all the confusion, and hear the prayers of the praying remnant in the land. We pray for another harvest, not sensitive to weather, for another harvest, Lord. Now we look to thee for help. We come towards the close of another year. As we view that approaching year, please be that same God to us in this coming year, that we may be spared to go into it as thou hast been this year, and all the years of our life here below. Oh, be everlasting light and guide. Oh, thou that same Lord Jesus in heaven that once lived here, and that same Lord Jesus, thy dear people, thy beloved bride, yes, as a complete body will see thee one day face to face and crown thee Lord of all. Oh, may we be among that people. So bless us now and do us good, and pardon our many sins and be gracious to us. We come to this time of the year when Western Christendom generally remembers thy birth. Our Lord, oh, grant us a blessing. Grant us some sweet meditation. God with us, the sinner's friend with us, the Lord our righteousness with us. Oh Lord, we do pray that we may be favoured to sweetly realise something for the purpose of thy coming. There may be indeed some sweet application to our heart that it was for us, even for us poor sinners. So bless us now as we turn to thy word. O Lord, we pray then for the Holy Ghost to be here and plead thy all-prevailing name and thy rich blessing, pardon of our many mighty sins. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 18. Now to the Lord a noble song. Awake my soul, awake my tongue. Hosanna to the eternal name, and all his boundless love proclaim. Hymn number 18.
Thank you.
in complete dependence upon the help of the Holy Ghost, I ask your prayerful attention to Psalm 118 and to verse 24. Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This declaration by the psalmist of the day the Lord has made immediately connects with the preceding verses, 22 and 23. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvellous in our eyes. And that is the day which the Lord hath made. The poet says, Jesus, the gift of gifts is come to show that God is love. His blessed eternal foundation. Yes, behold, I lay in Zion for a stone, a chief cornerstone, elect precious. Is rendered, I believe in Peter, he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Ah, my dear friends, yet the builders, the Jews, the legalists, the Pharisees rejected the stone. But though they rejected the stone, that stone became the head of the corner, the sure foundation. In looking at this, we'll just notice a little of the context. Then consider the blessed day, the gospel day. One or two days we may think of as creation, and the Sabbath particularly, a type of that glorious rest. And the blessed day of the putting away of sin, the blessed day of the Holy Ghost drawing near, being poured out at Pentecost and has not left the church yet. Even such a sad and solemn day as today with a great declension, yet the Holy Ghost is among the assemblies of his own people. And oh, then the Lord's visitation, the days we know the experience of our soul. If you're going to heaven, there'll be a blessed day in your life, and Christ is precious. There'll be many days in your life when you can rejoice in your salvation, answers to prayer, deliverances, victories. Oh, yes, brought out of a pit, set upon a rock. Oh, but that is set against the days of adversity. Yet the Lord has made the days of adversity. Oh, my dear friends, as we read in Job, if I can just find it here. I think the leaf in life as the Temanite said here somewhere. Although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth yet trouble spring out of the ground, yet man is born unto a trouble of the sparks of that wood. I would seek unto God. Unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvellous things without number, and so on. Oh, the Lord has made your day of adversity, your day of affliction. He raised the stormy wind and the waves thereof. Much of the heavens go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Ah, that's the gospel day for you. Then are they glad when they be quiet? And then that blessed day of entrance. Yes, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. As we sang just now, oh, may I live to reach that place. Oh, this lovely face. Well, my friends, so much for the context, really. But notice, you see, how the psalmist rejoiced in the day of God's revealing himself to Israel and to himself personally. And he knew experimentally salvation. Well, he commenced on a note of praise. We have much to thank God for. We have much to thank God for. Wherever you may be spiritually and providentially, and some may be very, very low places, may know much pain and sorrow and distress, yet still we've much to thank God for if we're on praying ground. You may not fit it in your soul comfortably at the present time, but it's true, blessedly true. Oh, you're not beyond the scope of God's help. You're not out of his eye, seeking soul, groaning prisoner, confessing sinner, many tribulations of one sort and another. And yet the Lord has made the day of grace, when he will hear poor sinners. He did the psalmist in his day. Oh, John Newton says very beautifully, behold the throne of grace. The promise draws me near. There Jesus shows his smiling face and waits to answer prayer. We sing it, do we believe it, friends? Knock, knock, shall be open unto you. Oh, we need a Holy Ghost religion, that we knock loudly, and that we continue knocking and won't give up. Oh, Holy Ghost religion won't give up, my friends. We feel your weakness in this. Ask and you shall receive, even the Holy Ghost in the precious name of Jesus, to help you to really pray and really trust and really believe and really lay hold of. It's resurrection power we need in our own souls, our own lives, and in the church of God. That rich atoning blood which sprinkled round, I see, provides for those who have come to God an all-prevailing plea. Is that true? It is. It is. Your heavenly Father, oh, I speak most reverently, pure, holy divinity, oh, the everlasting God with his Son and with the Holy Ghost, can't deny the blood of the everlasting covenant. Your heavenly Father cannot lie to the confessing sinner, the hungry, the thirsty, the poor, the needy. Ah, my soul, ask what thou wilt. Thou canst not be too bold. For since his blood for thee he spoke, what else can he withhold? You may feel the most wicked man upon earth sitting here tonight. Sometimes there's people standing here that feel just the same about themselves as standing in the pulpit. But the precious blood of Jesus speaks. The blood of Christ, a precious blood, cleanses from all sin. Doubt it not. And reconciles the soul to God from every folly, every fault. Ah, you see, we've much to be thankful for, to come back to my thoughts. But all our troubles, all our woes, all our captivities, there's a throne of grace, there's a name given by God, a Jesus that cannot lie. We don't like the trials. We don't like the sorrows. We don't like uncertainty. We don't like our lives hanging in a balance, do we? But it's all smooth and easy. If you're going to heaven, oh, you'll have to hang heavily upon him in all the uncertainties and all the frights and the fears and the oppressions in your soul and all the cruelty of Satan, all the scoffings of men. You'll have to wait alone upon him and hang upon him. Oh, sink down heavily upon those everlasting arms, pleading the word of God, pleading Jesus, the living word of God, the sure foundation. So he says, let Israel now say, and Let the house of Aaron now say, let them that fear the Lord say, that his mercy endureth forever. And believer, you've proved it thus far. Yes, thus far we've proved the promised good which Jesus ratified with blood. Oh, what a faithful God the Lord is. And so he says, I called upon the Lord in distress. Lord, answer me. That's the day the Lord has made. A day to answer your poor prayers, to rise for your help. And so he says, the Lord is on my side. Don't fear what man can do unto me. But you must have the Lord on your side. He's on the side of everyone that fears him, that trusts in him, waits upon him. He's not far off from any one of his people. They have been made nigh to him by his blood. Well, I must haste on, and of course, but he tells us, doesn't he, that they come to about like bees, but in the Lord's name we destroy them. Have you noticed this over the years? This is not carnal warfare or railings and contention and strifes. It's sowing at the throne of grace, in tears at the throne of grace. How in the name of the Lord you've destroyed them. You've seen, yes, oh, the mountains removed. Deliverance is commanded. A way made for the ransom to pass over. And so he says in verse 18, the Lord of the chase of me saw, not give me over unto death, and so on. And then we come to the stone which the builders refused to become the head of the corner. Christ is risen, Christ is ascended. It's the Lord's doing, and only the Lord's doing, marvellous in our eyes. It's marvellous in your eyes when you sink down in him as your sure foundation. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Rejoice and be glad in it. Well, my dear friends, there was a day of creation when man was made in God's image, upright. My dear friends, he had an innocency. Now, I know there's strife over whether he was righteous, or, but he had a primitive righteousness that could be lost. That's how I view it. His righteousness all the way obeyed, but he could fall, and he did. That lying spirit, so powerful, so strong. Ah, but my dear friends, the seed of them bruised him. And the day the Lord's made for his church is when he'll make himself known to his people. He'll bruise Satan in you. Oh, my dear friends, oh, how indeed David took the citadel in Zion of the Jebusite, you see. And only he can take that top place in your heart. And how he could subdue the Canaanite of the valley, which has chariots of iron. What are they? Pricks in our eyes and thorns in our sides, our fallen nature. But he gives his people the victory. Well, I must come now to really the day the Lord has made. Firstly, the Sabbath. The blessed Sabbath. When we were children, it was a bit irksome. Couldn't do what we wanted to do. Under good discipline, godly discipline. What a mercy. And what a mercy to be kept. Remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. But what a greater mercy to love the Sabbath. Look forward to the Sabbath. To go and to seek, you may have a little glimpse of the King in his beauty, to hear of Christ. And when you're in sore tribulation and sorrow, you want living waters, don't you? with everlasting love, divine consolation, a consolation that can only really satisfy your troubled soul, a Jesus that can only come where you are to do you good in your soul. Oh, the blessed Sabbath. Oh, may we each be taught more and more to value the Sabbath, look forward to the Sabbath. I know ministers, of course, in many ways it's a terrible mountain. And approach it feeling so desolate. But nevertheless, you know, it's good to preach Christ. There's a sacred pleasure in it. Many ministers have tried. I mean, I know what it's like myself, you get so tried. The poverty in preaching, the temptations afterward, the cruelty of Satan. But when the minister's preaching, he knows. He knows he's preaching the glory of the Blessed One. It's a delight to his own soul while he's speaking, though he gets down the steps and the floods come back again. But you may have a good hearing in Zion, you get home, and there's the loneliness, there's the trial, there's the sorrow, all facing you. How we need Christ. But the Sabbath, of course, is a beautiful type and shadow of the glories to be revealed. When we shall go and see the King in his beauty. When we shall be with Christ, which is far better. We shall sing that lasting, lasting, lasting song. We get weary in singing, don't we? We can only sing for an hour or two, then we're exhausted. Can't sing anymore. But not in heaven. Oh, the exhilarating and, shall we say, expanding song. Which beyond our understanding, isn't it? The eternal freshness of that world. The felicity, the peace, the joy of that world. Will we get there, friends? Will we get there? Shall such worthless worms as I, who oft times am afraid to die, be found at God's right hand? Prevent it by thy grace. Be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place, an accepted day. This is the acceptable year of the Lord, the accepted time. The day the Lord has made, the day of grace, grace. Let's look at the day of grace now. That's my main thought. Well, my dear friends, the day of grace was promised in Eden. The day of grace, my dear friends, was set forth in type and shadow through the whole of the Old Testament. Oh, Christ was pointed out and Christ was pointed out. Prophesied of, sang of by the psalmist. And he came. Oh, in the fullness of the time he came. And assumed our nature in the womb of the Virgin to become what? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He came as King of the Jews, though despised and abhorred of men. Mocked and derided and laughed at. They said he had a devil and was mad. Insulted and blasphemed against. But all he had a single eye to the glory of God his Father. And he had a heart set on his dear, dear people. Are there some of his dear, dear people here this evening? Who need all the mercy, help and grace in him. When you lived here as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, praying his way along, obedient unto death, sorrowful even unto death, yet he had his heart set upon miserable sinners like you and I, disobedient children so often, with black records and wandering hearts still, often cold and lifeless, so forgetful of him. He never forgot his people. In his heart from all eternity. In his heart now. Those yet to be born into this world. The election of grace are in his heart now. When he died at Calvary, you know, he knew them all. He saw them all in himself. He shed his blood for them all. It's clearly manifest by the gemstones on the breastplate. The 12 gemstones with the name of each tribe of Israel inscribed, you see. typical of the election of grace. They're in his heart, you see. They're in his heart in his life here as that loving Saviour. They're in his heart as he poured out his soul unto death. They're in his heart as he rose from the grave. In his heart now, unfolding his eternal thought. The eternal thought of Father, Son and Holy Ghost. As time goes on, so he's brought in this, what we call the Day of Grace. When the gospel went forth from Jerusalem, preaching repentance and remission of sins in his precious, blessed, all-prevailing name. Do we know repentance and remission of sins? We can be very religious without knowing repentance and remission of sins, you know, my friends. We really can. Sad and solemn, isn't it? Oh, to have known much about Christianity and Protestantism and historical facts and enjoying the emotional anecdotes of God's dear people, true often and very sweet to hear sometimes. We can all those things. But, oh, do you confess your sins? Do you know repentance in a broken heart before the feet of dear Emmanuel? And do you know little of that sense of his forgiveness, his everlasting love? Or do you want to know it? That's a vital thing, isn't it? To have that thirst, that hunger. Oh, my dear friends, but a day came, a real day of grace in this, when holy transactions took place. Unholy filth and stink from this world, from sinners, God took hold of and took the whole dimension, a weight and a measure unknown to man, known only to God, and felt and experienced by the slaughtered lamb as he poured out his soul unto death. Oh, what a tremendous truth. His righteousness of God sustained him under that terrible load. He was able to bear it. Oh, he was the perfect lamb. If Christ had not been divine, he would have sunk under the load. He had to be sacred humanity. Had to be human, that is, he had to have a humanity, body and soul, but it was sacred. It could not be touched by sin. It could not be sullied, stained, marked. There could be no entrance of Satan into him because he was divine also. How beautiful is this glorious person, shining, glorious, eternal, holy God with us, with you in love, with you in mercy, with you to hear your poor prayers, with you to undertake for you, be gracious to you. In this way, I'll be merciful unto their unrighteousness. Have you merciful to your unrighteousness? You're unrighteous here tonight. Do you feel it keenly? Look at your past, my friend. Unrighteousness, Lord. Unrighteousness, Lord. Be merciful and unrighteousness, and their sins innumerable to us, not to him, to us. And look as you remember, no more, no more forever. Why, justice was done. Sin was punished in a real man who died for the ungodly and shed his precious vital blood, and that blood of his sacred humanity testifies and seals the sweet truth that God is true and every man a liar. He will bless. Oh, the covenant is sure. The promises are sure. Though you're poverty stricken and though you're troubled, though you're very small in grace, or you seem to be among those poor, unlikely people, you're not quite like the dear people of God. You feel such an outsider because of your poverty and weakness. Yet, the promise is sure. Oh, he's nigh to all them that call upon him, Psalm 145. To all that call upon him in truth. Oh, call upon me in the day of trouble, in truth. What is it to call upon the Lord in truth, even in your days of trouble? to plead the fullness of the glory of Christ. And you can only plead it when he means something to you. But if you feel, well, I hardly know him, plead the word of God, what the word of God says about his blessed person. And go with that humble prayer to plead the written word. And tell the Lord it's his word, it's a true word, it's a blessed word. You need his word. You need his blessing from his word to come and save you and do you good. Oh, my dear friends, you see, justice was done. Sin was punished. If you've got any guilt in your conscience, and it is a terror at times, you think of what punishment really means. What a solemn terror that is. But oh, my friends, Jesus died for you who fear him and seek him and call upon him. Why art thou afraid to come? Why afraid to tell thy case? He will not pronounce thy doom. Smiles are set on in his face. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall knock and it shall be opened unto you. The covenant promises, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And of course, in that day of coming out of Egypt, they had to keep the feast. No safety if they didn't keep the feast and daub the doorpost and the lintel. It had to be done. Well, may we plead God's sacrifice for sin. God has provided a lamb. Oh, if you fear God, it won't be a wearisome narrative, will it? Oh, just a repeating of things you hear from time to time. With our fresh sinnership, our fresh trials, our fresh troubles, it's something you may plead. It's precious. He's that living Saviour, the living Lamb in heaven. His blood speaks pure and loud and clear in heaven. Oh, it testifies that God is love. And all the promises are sealed by that blood. And so, my dear friends, justice was done. Your sins were punished in him. And now, just what I want to know. Well, you press toward Christ, my friend. Lord, help me to press toward him. Press toward him. You have no power. Plead the resurrection. The resurrection. Because he's not here. He's risen. He was dead. He lives to die no more. He died once. So precious that truth many years ago to me. He died once. Once. And I've still got this sinnership. He died once. You're saying to plead about your sinnership. You'll have a sinnership, a troublesome sinnership to your dying day. He died once. And the Apostle Peter wrote, of course, quoting from this verse, you quote from Isaiah, another verse concerning the stone, but it's the same sweet truth, you see. And to them which believe, he is precious. In your inmost soul, do you really believe in your heart Christ is the ever-blessed and precious one? He's the most precious one. I long that he should do great things for me. I long that he should do things I can't do for myself. I long that he should be my sweet teacher, my gracious instructor. He'd send the Holy Spirit to me to instruct me in him, his love, his mercy. Oh, may he come and visit me. I'm unworthy of his thoughts, his looks, but oh, may he remember me. Remember me. Oh, how Nehemiah cried, remember me, O Lord, for good. And oh, how the dying thief cried out, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Two different characters, of course. One godly man building Zion's walls, he's in heavy trial and in danger. He trusted in God and pleaded that his God would remember him in his trials. And there are no doubt godly people here this evening. We want the Lord to remember you in your pathway, remember you in your responsibilities, in your trials and in your sorrows. And there was a very wicked man. Don't mind me saying that, but he was really, you know. They railed on Christ, the two thieves. Both of them did it. Mocked him, derided him. If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. So is with the mocking, blaspheming Jews. And a blessed change came. Ah, that's the day the Lord has made in his church. Has he made it in your heart and your life, my friend? Is it being made today with you? Oh, what a change came. He realised just where he was. Utterly lost, condemned out of hand. But you know, that blessed spirit that awakened him pointed out who the blessed one was, you see. It went together, didn't it? He suddenly saw he was a blessed one. You mocked and spoken against him, railed on him. Hey, what could he do? He came like a simple beggar, didn't he? Oh, the sweet simplicity of that prayer. Remember we when thou comest to thy kingdom. I know at first he reproved his friend. And we indeed suffer justly. This man has done nothing amiss. He believed he was a king. And he had an everlasting kingdom, being the King of Kings. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He couldn't offer anything, could he? He just looked to Christ, pleaded the Lord to remember him. No, this is God, the God we're slow to serve, the God we so easily wander away from. Oh, the God we're only prepared to give half our heart to, left to ourselves, our wicked selves. That blessed, tender, loving, merciful God. I know when he touches your heart, you want to give him all your heart then, don't you? But we've got infirmities. We're dependent upon grace. And that dying thief was dependent upon grace. Not that he knew much about those things spiritually. He had a very simple religion. I'm dying. I'm wicked. Here is the blessed one. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Well, I think I quoted in prayer. It's true what the poet said. I quoted, Jesus, thou art all compassion. Pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation. Come to every sinking heart. What did the Lord do? Did he say, you've been too wicked. You've just mocked me and blasphemed my glorious name and person. You're too far gone, man. No, he said, today thou shalt be with him in paradise. You ponder it, my friend. This is what grace has done, the day of grace that our Lord has made, the putting away of sin. And that man's rotten life and wicked life was put away that day. His blood-washed soul is in paradise now, because all the dear saints have gone. This is grace. This is the Lord. So you see, when living here, we read in John 6 that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. I know I've said this here many times, but I've quoted this. And, you know, it's a beautiful truth, you know, because all people that get to heaven are comers to Jesus. You can divide this congregation by those that come and those that don't come. Oh, but the beginning's in your heart, isn't it? Lord, let me come. Oh, let me draw near to thee. Do receive me in mercy, Lord. Oh, you have to come. Jesus, my soul's compelled for its wrath and curse to thee. And there are those that don't come. They may have got a form of godliness, but it's cold and indifferent to Christ. It's only a form. If you've got life in your soul, it's many petitions. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm oppressed, undertake for me. Lord, be with me. Deal gently, mercifully, gracious with me. Deal with me as others deal with thy people. Help me to humbly trust in thee and believe in thee more. You may plead these precious truths in the scriptures. Oh, how he said to Jairus. God, Jairus came by faith because the little maid was poorly. And so he entreated the Lord to come, and the Lord was delayed in his journey to Jairus' house because of the woman with the issue of blood. There, this delay, you see, this woman was healed. Blessed be God for that. And how the message came then, it's too late. Trouble the master no further, she's dead. And immediately, and I like that immediately, Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. There's nothing too late in your case, my friend, if you're on praying ground. Nothing too late. The day the Lord has made. Be not afraid. The high priest knows your fears. He knows your fears. My dear friends, he had no sin. He had no inherent infirmities. But he humbled himself to be a man of sorrows, acquainted with be tempted, have pain, walk in a path of difficulty and opposition, to suffer hunger, to thirst. Oh, to be out on the night in the night on the Mount of Israel. And he knew what it is to set his face to the heaviest trial the earth has ever witnessed, the greatest sorrow that's ever been witnessed in this world. Sin being punished in the surety. What a solemn scene. Behold, a scene of matchless grace. Matchless, incomparable grace. To Jesus in the sinner's place. Heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame. Oh, that sinners might revere his name. Oh, the dying thief revered his name and rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. What a mercy he can truly save in the coming and the desire. Oh, there have I, there I hope. There have I washed all my sins away. Oh, some can say it here through the tender mercy of God to their never dying souls. Others can't quite say with such assurance, but the little sweet touches. Others can say, I long to know it. And you will know it, friend, because Jesus cannot lie. Well, now he died once, has gone to heaven, there to reign in this day of grace, to look after and care for his dear people, and to breathe upon their dry bones. Upon their dry bones. I know the deacons here much exercise that the dry bones here might be breathed upon. And that many hearts might be touched. We're the same at home as well, and the deacons there. For the Lord's work to appear. It's all good we should come to chapel and conform rightly in a sober and a grave life, as it were, and come to worship in the fear of God and reverence the Son of God. That's very good and proper. It's our duty to keep the Sabbath as part of the law. But we want more than that, don't we? Life in your soul. Life in your soul. Therefore he will breathe upon dry bones. There becomes a shaking. And all sinew and flesh come when they stand up. And the winds are commanded from the quarters of the earth. And breath enters into them. A great comfort to read in Ezekiel. There's the dear church of God being resurrected in the visit to their soul. Arising in newness of life and going after Christ. Rising out of the graves of unbelief and infidelity and darkness. and going after a precious Christ, feeling their need of divine help and divine mercy, everlasting to be given to them. With that everlasting strength, divine love and divine mercy, we'll never get to heaven. It's got to be ministered to us, hasn't it? We're poor, needy sinners. I want our Jesus to be our living head, our living Saviour, or to be the ministering servant of God to us. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to bless people, help people, save people, forgive people, heal people, deliver people. And yet we poor sinners need the same help. And he never refused, you know. Oh, what a sacred pattern in the Word of God. Jesus never sent any away, not one. Not one. I didn't quite finish quoting that in John 6, did I? All that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me on in no wise cast out. That's a blessed truth. Oh, what a gospel it is. Ah, my dear friends, we have to come so wretched and so poor, and from his gifts still draw a plea and ask him still for more, yet for more. We need daily supplies. Do you feel your need of a daily increase of faith? Do you feel your need, my dear friends, of more life in your soul? More light to be given to you from above? You may see things in his light and view things more by precious faith. To be strengthened and encouraged to press on into the kingdom, to press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Do you need a mighty hand to lead you and guide you? The Lord doesn't despise those feeble hands that they're so hanging down, but you have to lift them up toward him, pleading that divine help. Seeking that he should show you what to do. Every hour our strength to renew, to do his will, to inquire after him in this matter and that matter. Ah, my dear friends, the Lord has made. Yes, when the poor will be fed with heavenly food, sweet truths. Oh, precious, pure doctrine. Dropping us the rain, distilling us the dew. Nothing worse than dry academic doctrine just come out of university, is it? That's dry as a bone, isn't it? Doesn't do anybody any good. But those poor men in the school of Christ have learned salvation. Oh, they know their plague. They know their deadly plague. But they know love, everlasting love, mercy, forgiveness. Oh, they know God's love to them. They know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. And they know the sweet strengthening of the weak hands and confirming of feeble knees, you see. You want the Lord to lead you. Take you by his hand, your right hand, his right hand, to lead you in the way everlasting, to lead you along. Step by step. Yes, and all the details at home and affairs with you in this world, and in the salvation of your soul. You need more gospel light and more gospel life. I want the Lord to open the scriptures, to make his word more precious, more precious. We can never read the scriptures too much prayerfully, in exercise to receive. And my friends, we can never know Christ too much either. I said at home rather strange thing to say yesterday, but at home preaching, you know, we can get to know each other very well. But because our strange personalities and sinful manners and ill manners, we can get too familiar and begin to fall out a bit, you know, irritate each other. You almost know each other too much, really. Because the more you know somebody, the more you know about their faults. We've got faults, all of us got faults, you see. We have and the others have. But not so Christ. Blessed Jesus. The apostle longed to know him, longed to win him. He pressed toward him. Hear his pure life. Hear his sanctification, sanctifying grace, making us meet for the kingdom of heaven. Hear his love to manage. Deal very gently, tenderly and mercifully with us. Is it how you feel about your own soul? Lord, to deal mercifully with you, gently with you, graciously with you. We're learning all the time how poor we are, how poverty-stricken we are, how empty we are, devoid of all good. Paul the Apostle wrote, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, no good thing. But he longed to win Christ. I think I quoted in prayer. I believe it was so. Blessed are the pure in heart or something like that. I mentioned the pure heart. That's right. Treasured in an earthen vessel. I think it was here this evening. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then the apostle writes to the Corinthians, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excess of the power may be of God and not of us. Your earthen vessel is this old man, this failing frame, this sinful, weak body, a body of death, a body of sin. Oh, and God only knows the struggles. And you know the struggles a bit in your own heart, though the Lord sees the full dimension. He's given you treasure, treasure. We may have some sinful thoughts we've forgotten today. They've been seen by God. But he knows the longings in your soul that will proceed out of your heart today. Praying about your life, your future. Confessing your sins and pleading for help from him and a blessing from him. He's read all that also. There's the treasure. There's the man we read of in the Beatitudes that Jesus spoke. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That really delight in me, reverence thee, long to know me, long to win me. That hate their own life also. The pure heart groans. The pure heart confesses. The pure heart desires. The pure heart worships and go after him. The pure heart reverences the blessed one. Even Jesus. Yet knowing, conscious, through all the days of your pilgrimage, how poor we really are. And so Jesus said also in Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. They acknowledge how weak and poor they are. They do not trust in themselves, like the apostle. He received a beautiful sentence of death, you know. We're under a sentence of death, aren't we? I wouldn't call it beautiful. Fruit of sin, sentence of death. It's a frightening thing, isn't it? But, oh, if you're a child of God, you have another sentence of death. That's a beautiful sentence. And you'll be saved in your death with this sentence. He received a sentence of death in himself. He should not trust in himself, but in him which raiseth the dead. There's the life of faith. Oh, that springs from the heavenly treasure. To trust in him which raiseth the dead. Oh, may we trust in him, look to him. Oh, this blessed day. And the appointed day of death is a blessed day to the church. Naturally, to nature, it's frightening. It's a storm we've got to face, and we're reluctant to face it. We shrink back in a natural way from it. But we have to allow prayers about it, don't we? Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy spirit must have worked for us, all of grace, grace. And he will prepare his people. He said, I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So may we lack prayers about the day of our death, that it may be well. Lord, will support us and bring us through. Though you young ones, it may be seemed a long way away, but nobody knows. No one knows. But it's an appointed time when we shall see Jesus face to face. What a mercy, friend, be clothed and washed. Clothed in that robe of righteousness. Have a sweet hope in him. Ah, he'll know his people that day. He'll draw the people who've been praying to him, confessing to him, weeping before him, knocking at mercy's door, calling upon him, waiting upon him. Ah, he'll say, come thou blessed of my Father. You know why, don't you? Because they are the fruit of the travail of his soul. He shall see of the traveller's soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge of them, his knowledge as God, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Well, I must close at 25 past gone. Well, I've only rambled through these things. This is the day the Lord has made. What a mercy if it's a day here at Swavesey of even one poor sinner. Made by God. And then in that little experience as we journey on. Ah, have you felt the Lord's presence a little today? A little hope in your soul today. Oh, it's the day the Lord has made. And now we have the morrow, that unknown future. May our unknown future be the day the Lord has made for us. Let us ask the Lord's blessing. Bless thy precious word. Oh, may something remain to do us good, Lord. May we know this sweet day of grace while we live here. And may we see thee at last in face to face and bow among them there and the chief of sinners. Follow with thy blessing then, Lord, we pray. And pardon all the weakness and anything spoken wrongly. Now do grant us safe journeys, some ways in peace and safety. And have mercy upon us. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pack next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 956. Christ has blessings to impart, grace to save thee from thy fears. O, the love that fills his heart, sinner, wipe away thy tears. 956.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet communion and comfort of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, both now and for evermore. Amen.